Lord, we just want to praise you because we know that many have made the ultimate human sacrifice in giving their lives for their country. And there are some that are even doing it today in time and effort and sacrifice and even in putting their lives at risk to stop the spread of terror and to spread freedom. And we know your gospel flourishes in times of persecution and in times of freedom, but Lord, you've told us in your word to pray for peace for the sake of the gospel. And so that is what we pray for, and we thank you for the men and women who even today sacrifice by being in the military, and the men and women in the past who have given their lives. We are benefited from them, and we are wrong to take that for granted. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And even in our festivities with our friends, our family, Lord, may you be the one, may your Spirit remind us that we might be full of gratefulness. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I got a question for you, and that is, there's a restaurant out on Wade Hampton that is a Kentucky Fried Chicken, one half, and is a Pizza Hut, the other half. Seen that? Been there? How in the world can you have two restaurants in one building? I mean, aren't they going to compete with one another? Aren't they going to put the other one out of business? Isn't there going to be, you know, couldn't one have a price war and drive the other one down? Couldn't they fear the fact that when you walk in that restaurant thinking you're going to get a piece of chicken and all of a sudden you smell that pizza, and I'm sorry, you know, to be talking about stuff like this time of day, but all of a sudden, this is how disciplined our flock is. They can hear this and not even think about food, right? They walk in thinking about chicken, and they suddenly smell the pizza, and they go and they buy a pizza instead, and now Kentucky Fried Chicken just lost money. How can that work? Bingo. The same company owns the two restaurants. And if that's the case, that really kind of changes everything, doesn't it? Because a price war would be a little foolish, wouldn't it? If the same company owns the two restaurants. A competition and fear of people going one side of the restaurant versus the other side of the restaurant is eliminated as soon as you realize there's a single owner. If you can get that concept, you've got the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's really where we were driving this morning. We never quite made it. Let's start at the beginning and work our way, and I hope you'll see that just leap out, minus the chicken and pizza. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, anathema, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Did you get it? Do you get the emphasis of this passage? Now, I think many of us don't, we never get this passage. And the reason is because when we approach this passage, we are often approaching it from the perspective of simply getting a question answered. What's that? Are all these gifts operative today? And if we say yes, we're trying to figure out, well, what exactly are they? And if we say no, well, which ones are and which ones aren't? So I'm going to frustrate all of you. Tonight, we're not going to answer that question. We are going to answer that question. You can't get out of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 without addressing that question in detail. And specifically, how it applies to the two most controversial gifts in this section, and that is tongues and prophecy, which Paul is going to come back to and deal with in detail in 1 Corinthians 14. But for right now, do any of you not have the notes and need them? If you do, just hold your hand up, and maybe someone would be kind enough to grab a handful and pass some out, because I think it will be helpful. Because I am going to be summarizing. I only got half my message done this morning. So I'm going to try to summarize that and then summarize this evening. But if we stay focused on what is clearly the thrust of this passage, I think we can summarize it, and we will come back to some of the big questions like the one I just raised. There's a big shift that occurs between verse 3 and 4 as far as wording that isn't obvious in the English. Paul began in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. You remember what the word he used there? If you can, you're really good. It's pneumaticon. Our word pneuma is the word spirit, if you remember. It's a general term for concerning spiritual things. But in verse 4, when he talks about the gifts, he's not going to use pneumaticon. I mean, he could have used that word. He's going to use the word charismata. Charismata. There are diversities of charismata. And the reason he is using that word is, what is the root form of the word charismata? Is the word charis, which is our word for Greek word for grace. So what Paul does there is, first of all, he establishes that if anybody can worship Jesus as Lord, he is doing it by the Spirit. Because only the Spirit can motivate worship of the Lord. You can't drum it up. We saw that this morning, and we heard testimony after testimony. Those of you in the first service who thought things went a little long missed out in the second service. And I just praise God. Thank you for your patience, because I lost track of time, both services. It's like 5 to 1 or whatever in the second service. But I loved hearing the testimonies of God's Spirit opening the eyes of our people. I could listen all day to that. That is truly a glorious thing. And that's what Paul is emphasizing in verse 4 by choosing the word charismata. Today it turns into a controversial term, which is unfortunate. But the root is grace. He's emphasizing, if you worship the Lord in any way, it is only because of the grace of God. That's why we call these grace gifts. Because it's grace hyphen gifts. Because you can't separate. Is it grace or is it gift? It's just all together. It's all because of his kindness. So you can't boast. He's going to use that word charismata in verse 9, 28, 30, 31. That's going to be the word for the rest of the chapter, to emphasize that if you have a gift, and every believer, as we're going to see, does, if you have a gift from the Lord, then it is purely from the grace of God. So that means you can't boast, and you can't look down on anybody else who has a different gift. And getting into the comparisons or price wars, if you will, between gifts as to whose is better than the other is foolish. Because you got the same source. You got the same owner. He's the one who gives all the gifts. As chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" And so the final point I was going to make this morning is simply the diversity of gifts that glorify God and edify the body are all from the same Spirit. I'll say it one more time. The diversity of gifts that glorify God and edify the body are all from the same Spirit. So let's look at the top of your notes for tonight, and you'll see a chart that was at the bottom of your notes from this morning that we didn't get to. And I hope this will be helpful in breaking down what is happening in verses 4 through 6. You have on the left the many manifestations of the Spirit. He says in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, diversities of gifts. And there's that word charismata. There are varieties of services. And that's the word diakonia. We get our word deacon from that. But it's not being used in that specific sense. It's being used in a very general sense of any kind of service. This word is used of serving tables. It's used of serving in the community. It's used of giving to the poor. So he says, whether it's varieties of gifts or varieties of services, or varieties of activities. And this is a tough word to translate because it's only used here in the New Testament. And you could translate it activities or effectiveness or accomplishment. It's a very general term. So you got varieties of gifts, services, activities, many manifestations, but one source. What do you notice about that right column? What doctrine leaps out at you? The Trinity, right? Yeah, one Spirit, one Lord, one God. The same Spirit, the same Lord, Jesus Christ, the same God. Which is just so cool that God just, his point is that they're not in it, there's no competition going on here. You know, Pizza Hut is owned by the same company as Kentucky Fried Chicken, and every once in a while you'll see a Taco Bell in the same building. And the reason there's no competition and the reason they don't threaten each other is because they have the same owner. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate. Is all of these manifestations of the Spirit have the same source. Don't try to break down, well, the gifts come from the Spirit and services from the Lord and activities comes from God, because that's doing the exact opposite of what Paul is trying to communicate. He summarizes it in the end when he says, who activates all of them in everyone. That's his point. All in all. When the Spirit glorifies the Son in and through his people, he does so through a variety of means. And that's where I just get so excited, because I feel like orchestra or choir or all the ministries, the same Spirit that fills Matt to be able to lead us in singing, worshiping God in singing, is the same Spirit that wakes up Larry early on Sunday morning to come over here and finish cleaning toilets or vacuuming with his crew. Same Spirit who activates both of them to minister to the body. The same Spirit that energizes and motivates the Tuckers to make meals for their neighbors is the same spirit who fuels Keith with a love for teens and a passion to see them and their families love God. The same spirit who has gifted and enabled Laura Baker to open the Word, to offer wise counsel to hurting women, is the same spirit that motivated Beth to want to cut the staff's hair once a month. You know, that's the same spirit who activates all these various gifts, services, activities, the same spirit who has called the Zebodies to pour themselves and their team into the nursery to minister to our kids is the very same spirit who has called the Van Slootens to put together the missionary prayer letter, or who calls them to the prayer meeting on Saturday night, begging God for revival in our church and in our community. Now that gets me so excited. And what it does, what Paul is trying to eliminate here, is this competition that was apparently growing in the church of Corinth between what we would view today as charismatic and non-charismatic gifts. What often divide churches, right? Are there some gifts that are really of the Spirit and there are some gifts that are not so much of the Spirit? Or there are some gifts that are normative, other gifts that aren't. Paul is saying, and I know we're talking about a different era here, but it's the same mindset. Paul is saying, wait. Before you go there, remember that the Holy Spirit, God, activates and energizes His people in ways, in gifts, in services, and in activities. And so be very careful, he is saying to the people at Corinth. Be very careful about looking at certain non-spectacular gifts. In that day, this was the controversy. Apparently, some of the Corinthians were saying, well, you know, he does is sing, or all he does is serve or deliver meals. I mean, I have the gift of wisdom, or I have the gift of tongues was a big controversial gift. And so therefore, you really have the Spirit. And somebody who doesn't have that same gift, you know, they got a little bit of the Spirit, but not really. And he says, no. You don't understand. This is what he's driving home, because the same Spirit gives these gifts. So, summarize that, verses 4 through 6, this way. These manifestations of the Spirit are, number one, this is what he says in verse 7, given to each. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one. Every believer can rejoice in some manifestation of the Spirit. What is a manifestation? Is to make visible. Say, what does a spirit look like? Well, obviously, as a spirit, he doesn't have a body. So if he's going to manifest himself, he's going to manifest himself through his people. And well, what will that look like? That's what we want to figure out, right? What will that look like? And he says, wait. Hey, all of this is what it will look like. Through his gifts, through his services, through his activities, he gives each believer a manifestation of the Spirit. Number two, it was given for the benefit of all, or literally with view of profiting, to the advantage, in this case, of all. When Kentucky Fried Chicken makes a sale, the company as a whole is benefited, even if Pizza Hut didn't. And that's the point that Paul is making. How can you compete with one another over who is more spiritual when you realize that when one uses their gift to edify the body whole body is edified? When somebody, like this morning, we're ministering in song, and all of us are edified. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter whether it was you who was doing that, or you or me. It doesn't matter. It's the body is edified. It is to our advantage. We are profiting, is the word that's used. And he goes on and gives us some examples in verse 8 through 10. He begins to list some examples as to what the manifestation of the Spirit might look like. Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Now, if we were to spend a lot of time trying to quantify each of these and try to figure out why did Paul put these in this order, and what is the meaning of each phrase, it gets really confusing, to be straight with you, because it's hard. The closest thing I could find, and obviously I'm not infinite in knowledge, so there may be something that I'm missing, but the closest thing I could find was what Fee pointed out when he, and that's why I typed that out in that way in your notes, so that you'll see the breakdown, was the shift of the little word another. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge through the same Spirit. And then he shifts and uses another word for another, hetero, another faith by the same Spirit. And then he uses allo for a bunch of times. And then he goes back and uses, that should be hetero, again, to emphasize the fact that you have another of the, allo is typically another of the same kind, and hetero is another of a different kind. So what does that mean? Well, you've got this listing, and then you've got this shift, and then you've got another listing, and so you look at that and you say, is there anything distinguishable about wisdom, the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge versus these other middle gifts, and then back to tongues and interpretation of tongues? And Fee suggests that that the only thing he noticed was the gifts that the Corinthian church struggled with the most were what gifts? I mean, tongues would definitely be number one. And then wisdom and knowledge, they really boasted in. Remember at the beginning of the book, Paul said, "I didn't come to you, you know, with the wisdom of man's words." That the gospel isn't about what you know. I mean, he emphasizes that over and over again. So Fee suggests that possibly what Paul is doing is putting the gifts at the top, wisdom and knowledge, that the Corinthians boasted in, and then the gifts at the bottom that they boasted in, tongues and the interpretation of tongues, and then he packed in the middle of just a variety of other gifts to show them that these are all interspersed, that there's no a way you can distinguish which gifts are better and which gifts are worse. I mean, that's an idea. That's a possibility. But let's try to go a little further than that and make a few observations so that we can get, in our beginning study of spiritual gifts, we can get some general truths from this passage. Number one, no list is exhaustive. No list is exhaustive. There are approximately how many lists in the New Testament? There are how many lists in the New Testament? Five. Yep, you'll see them there in your notes. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11 is the one right here. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then later on, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 lists apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, helps, administration, kinds of tongues. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing of mercy. Then in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And there's some debate as to whether that's one, pastor, teacher, which would mean there are 20 gifts listed versus 21, depending on how you break that down. And then 1 Peter 4:11, speaking and service. So, if all of these could be described as charismata, grace gifts, then you'll notice none of the lists are perfectly match, right? I mean, there are different things in each list. And the word charismata, do you know, in general, it's used of salvation. It's used of sacrificial giving. What else did we see in 1 Corinthians 7? Remember, if you have a certain gift, singleness, or marriage. So if you're married, you're a charismatic. If you're single, you're a charismatic. If you've ever given any money sacrificially, you may be a charismatic. See, amen. See, there's really no such thing as a non-charismatic Christian. I mean, according to the Bible. Now, we've made that kind of muddy today. And obviously, it'd be nice to have lived in the first century before got into these kind of controversies. But there, Paul wouldn't know what that was. How can you be a non-charismatic? You mean you have no grace? And you have no gifts of the Spirit? No, you can't. All Christians are charismatic. But the gifts enumerated here simply serve, Hayes says this, simply serve to represent the diversity of the workings of the Spirit. Consequently, it is futile to speculate at length about the precise meaning of each gift because Paul does not give us enough information to construct a clear picture. Now, I've gone through, and I think it's even in team training when I used to teach this section, I've gone through and defined each one of these gifts, and we could spend a lot of time doing that, and we could take tests to see which gift we have. But in this context, where we're trying to go in understanding what is Paul's purpose, I think that would be a distraction because the gift lists are not exhaustive. I think there are hundreds of other gifts that are not listed. So what is your gift of the Spirit? Well, the sky's the limit. Number two, no gifts are superior. The reason it's a waste of time to figure out which gifts are more superior than the others is you notice that the order is always different. You can't go through and try to speculate and say this gift is the priority because it always shows up on top. The gifts, the order changes with each list. The only exception, what is the only exception? The gift that always ends up last when it's listed. Tongues. Ends up last. Now, why would that be? Possibly, Paul, it's not saying that tongues is unimportant, but what Paul is probably doing is countering the Corinthians' emphasis that that was the sterling gift. So maybe it ended up last for that reason. But that's probably the only thing you can see as far as the order. Number three, many of these gifts will be experienced without being identified. I really believe this, folks. Many of you are experiencing spiritual gifts on a daily basis, and you would be scared to death to know it. We just don't realize it. We just don't necessarily call them spiritual gifts. But I really believe there are times, and we could stop right now and have testimonies for hours about this, I bet, but there are times where you are really confused about something. You just don't know what to do, or you don't understand a certain doctrine. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and explains it in such a way that boing, I mean, all the lights go on in your head. And obviously, that was the Spirit opening your eyes as to what to do. But you got to wonder, did the Spirit give this person a word of knowledge, an ability to communicate a truth that you did not understand before, or a word of wisdom to gain an understanding that you didn't get before. I think that goes on all the time, that we don't understand it. So what Paul is doing here is helping us to see that the Spirit of God is constantly interacting with His people, communicating grace gifts. Number four, the emphasis in this passage is on the sovereignty of the Spirit. The emphasis in this passage is on the sovereignty, or if you don't like to spell that, oh, there it is, the supremacy of the Spirit. Look at where he's heading. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. Folks, before we can wrestle with the question, what is the Spirit doing today at North Hills Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina, or Taylor, South Carolina, before we can even answer that question, we have got to immerse ourselves in this verse. And that is what? That the Spirit is going to do what? What He wants to do. He's going to do what He wants to do. Now that makes us nervous, doesn't it? Because we want to know what He can do and what He can't do, and we want to, you know, we'll decide whether we want to participate. But see, that question was settled at the beginning of the chapter, wasn't it? When the first job of the Spirit is to say, He is Lord. And so then His people are saying, okay, God, what gift do You want to give me? What expression of Your kindness do You want to give me so that I can edify the body, further Your kingdom, bring an advantage that would bless all these people? What do You want to do through me? What do You want to do in this place? Because the Spirit of God is going to work in a way, that same Spirit is going to work all these things. And he emphasizes all these things in the sense that this isn't even the same. You look at the end of the chapter, there's a whole nother list that's not even the same. So there's no way you can say these are the gifts and that's it. He's going to do what He wants to do. And His people should heartily amen that. That's what we want. We want the Spirit to do His work in this place, don't we? I mean, we don't want to just play church. I don't want to go through my whole life just fulfilling certain religious obligations and checking off certain little lists and thinking I've done church or I've been a Christian. I want the Spirit to do His work in my life, first of all, and then in our family as a church. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was, if you walked into one of his church services, you certainly wouldn't have been threatened that you were in a charismatic church, made a very strong point. Look at what he said. We must not say only for New Testament times, nor must we say always, talking about spiritual gifts. The answer is, as He wills. As the Spirit wills, the gifts of the Spirit are to be left in the hands of the Holy Spirit Himself. So before, and I want to really emphasize this because it is very easy, and I feel this pressure, I'll be honest with you. When you start a study of the Spirit, depending on what your background is, if you're coming from a charismatic background, Pentecostal background, non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal, evangelical, fundamental, whatever your background is, you're going to approach 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 with possibly a little chip on the old shoulder, right? With certain presuppositions where I know it can't be this, so now I got to figure out what it really is. And what I want us to do, and I have no agenda, I promise you, but I just want us to be able to say, Spirit of God, you do as you will in my life, in our church. You do what as you will, because whatever you have, I want. Whatever it is, whatever you're doling out, I want it. Why wouldn't I want something from you? Why would I be afraid? You know? It's like going home after not being home for years. You know, and you're dying to... You've been away at college eating junk food for years, and you know, you walk in the door and your mom is cooking. It doesn't matter what she's cooking. You whatever she's cooking, you want it. And for those of us, once we understand the power and the grace and the love of our Lord in sending so thoughtfully and preparing to send the Holy Spirit. Remember in John 14 through 16, telling his disciples, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit as a paraclete, as a comforter, as a friend who comes alongside to help, teach, and encourage. I'm leaving him for your benefit. So why would we run from that? Why would we fear that? There's nothing to be afraid of. Whatever he has, we want. And so as we begin this series, let's ask him to give us that kind of heart. That does a couple things. The first thing is we're going to be looking at each other differently. We're going to be valuing. Doesn't matter what your ministry is, if you're doing it to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and edify his body, praise God for that. I praise God for that. We're going to encourage each other. Rejoice in the varieties of gifts and services and activities that he alone could energize. When I think of just drive by the back of the building. I mean, we had a work day last Saturday, and then yesterday there are men out there banging away building a shed to keep all that junk in that side hall that we got to get stored. I mean, they have a lot of other things they could do with their time, but they have certain abilities that they're using to edify us, to bless us. And God is just saying, that's from the Lord. That is from me. I have given you that. Praise his name. So we're going to look at each other differently. And secondly, we're going to look at the Spirit differently. We're going to welcome his good gifts. Whatever those are today for us, we want them. Let's pray. Oh Lord, your word is so clear when we can somehow get ourselves out of the picture. And so we pause now and say, Lord, please teach us. As we unpack these glorious chapters, may we never approach them wishing certain parts weren't there, wishing certain things weren't mentioned or could be mentioned in a different way. May our hearts be so submitted to your truths, your truth, that we embrace what you have for us. And we see that they all come from you. That you are the source. You are the source. So Lord, help us not to get distracted by the means, by the very imperfect, human, fallible means, but help us to be consumed with the source. You, the Godhead who graciously manifests himself to his people for their good and the kingdom's expansion. Lord, we praise you. We are very excited about learning and growing together as we see how a body should function, and then as we learn how to do that in love, and then as we learn how that works out in specific gifts, how to use them properly, how to stay away from improper use. Lord, that is what we want to hear. We want to hear from you, and we thank you for being our teacher and for blessing us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.